The Racing Pulse Hong Kong Racing Watch. Hutchie's Honkers with Clint Hutchison.
Yeah, Hutchie joins us to talk about the spate of Victorian jockeys and Australian jockeys who have been struck down with COVID and COVID close associations. Jai McNeil's the latest. What's going on? How are you, Hutchie?
Yeah, very good morning, Matty. Yeah, it's unfortunate, isn't it, for Jai? He's only sort of just warming up his Hong Kong stint. But on the, I don't know if there is a good side, but if there was one, well, it's the IJC series is next week, so let's hope he sort of gets cleared up by the time that all starts, because we want to see him compete there, and what a list of names they've got going for that meeting next week.
Yeah, can be a dodgy scenario, can't it, for someone like Jai McNeil in Hong Kong, where momentum is everything, and you need to sort of hit the ground running. Is he now a little bit on the back foot?
I think it's a little bit early to say that, but put it this way, like if you're out there winning races or getting a chance to win, it's an advantage. I mean, Hugh's hit the ground running. He's had a few winners already, and it is very much a momentum thing there. If you can get off and get a couple of winners early, it makes all the difference. I don't think Jai's had a lot of great rides, but he's been close. But, he'd rather be out there. He actually had a couple of nice rides that he would have been on board tonight, but unfortunately he won't be, and he's not the only one on the sidelines. They've got Real Meyer, of course, who's Brazilian, and Antoine Hamlin is also out. So I think it'd be a little bit of a concern for the club at this point just to try and contain it a little bit, because they don't want to put all the big races next week in jeopardy either.
Has it been, I've spoken to a couple of guys who normally go who aren't going because they're a little bit afraid of the consequence of getting COVID over there and the delay of returning and the quarantine and so on. Is it going to affect, if not the horses, then international human visitors to the meeting?
It could do. I think, there's still some protocols in place, but look, I think they were ramping it up and everything seemed to be flowing along beautifully, of course, and now we're in the week before. So, look, they're on top of the clubs and all of that. I mean, we won't get into a discussion on how to control these things, but they'll be hoping for some good participation from everywhere. But I would imagine with the protocols, it would probably turn a few off. But I think they were looking forward to having plenty of participation from a lot of different jurisdictions. And there'll still be plenty going to enjoy themselves.
I'll ask you about laws of indices in a moment, but I'm looking forward to this meeting more than most in recent times, because it seems to me that there's a really super group of Hong Kong horses who are now going to be confronted by a swarm of top class Japanese, and I think we're going to get a really, really good indication of just the actual depth of the talent in Hong Kong when the Japanese horses come over. Are you looking forward to that test that's going to be put to these star Hong Kong horses?
Yeah, I look forward to it every year, Matty, and I agree. Well, I don't think there's the depth there necessarily in the local ranks, but what there is some very high-end talent, in probably three of the four races. You know, the sprinters are always hard to beat. I think home ground advantage is a big thing, and, they've usually purchased well out of Hong Kong, and this year will be no exception. They're going to have a very strong hand with Lucky Swainess and Wellington. In the mile, they've obviously got Golden 60. Well, he's beat most of them before, but California Spangle and him line up again there. World-class milers. And then Romantic Warrior is the one over the 2,000. Now, how did he line up against the Japanese contingent? There's five of them, I think, going over for the 2,000. So you've got to be on your game there. So that'll be a really, really interesting race. And then, of course, you've got the mile and a half race where there's good participation from everywhere. So it is going to be a really, really good year as far as that's concerned.
I'm not sure. I'm assuming laws of indices is in the mile. What level of competitiveness can he bring to it for an inverted commas for Australia?
Yeah, I just think it's one of those things where we'll get a good idea. I mean, it was a fantastic run, sort of the final run. I mean, recently in the spring, wasn't it? And Annabelle's heading over. I just wish there was more participation from a lot of the Australian contingent. But it's difficult, isn't it? I suppose on the back of the spring, they're peaking a bit earlier and, but Annabelle's done such a good job. And look, I think he'll run well, but it's another level again up there in that field, I would imagine. But so you'll get a good price, Matty. That's the good thing.
Absolutely. I wonder whether the creation of Champions Day as another grand final locally is probably another reason why it's going to be harder for the Aussie horses to go to Hong Kong?
Potentially, yeah, unless there's a sort of change in mindset in terms of where you want them And, you know, you at what stage of the preparation, that's something you'd have to probably work out with the trainers. But it might suit certain horses that probably on the back foot early and don't have an arduous spring and then can go there. I mean, I would think that there's an opportunity probably to... sorry, something going on my phone here. But I would imagine there's probably an opportunity to race there.
Yes, you're right about your phone. There's no doubt about that. We might, Mickey Comerford, we'll clunk him and come back to Hong Kong Hutchie and see if we can get him back. We might take a little 30-seconder, Mikey, and see if HKH can return. Oh, he's a great tipster, that Hong Kong Hutchie. He tipped there was something wrong with his phone, and he proved to be absolutely correct, but he's back. Just in case it explodes on us, let's turn our attention to Happy Valley tonight. Hutchie, what sort of a meeting is this tonight?
It's a better average than average Wednesday night, that's for sure, in terms of the quality of horses going around. And it's usually a little bit quieter the week before because all the best horses will be out, so particularly next weekend and next Wednesday will be great. But no, I like the meeting, and I think we've got a nice price winner to kick off the night, the second event of the evening. Matty, I reckon there's a horse called High Rise Soldier who's just been sort of going through the motions a little bit this prep, but the blinkers go on. He drops back down in class, and he's going from 1,000 metres last start, which was too short, up to 1,200 metres. It's a much weaker race for him. There's a horse in the betting that Zach Clayton rides for Danny Shulman that's awkwardly drawn, and I don't think that good in Mr. Fun, and he's too short. And High Rise Soldier at the moment is about $5 in Hong Kong, and I think if you get around that sort of price, he's a really good bet.
All right. What race and what number was he?
Race 2, number 2. So it's nice and easy for you to remember. Pair of twos.
You know, I need it simply laid out. So, race 2, number 2, High Rise Soldier. What else?
The good thing of the night looks like it's going around in race 5. It'll be about even money. Race 5, number 9, Rattan Kingdom for Jamie Richards and Zach Purton. He's been very unlucky these two starts. This horse, bad barriers have basically gone against him. He was wide first up. It was a huge run. And then last time out, he was drawn wide again. Zach went back on him, and you know, that basically it was a sit and sprint, and he got home incredibly well, some of the best closing sections at the meeting. So he's better drawn. He should land in the right spot. It's not a strong race, and like I said, even money probably about right for him. So he might be a leg if you've got a few multis as well going throughout the day. You could probably you could land on him. That's race 5, number 9. And just while we're there, Matteo, you were mentioning about you know, the champion or stakes, champion stakes for the last day in the carnival. You know, what's interesting to me, and I think how it sits, is that it could develop, not even maybe so for Australia, but I just always wondered if some of those international participants might consider, you know, leading into that and then heading on to Hong Kong. I mean, they'd have to have quite a year overseas, but it is a possibility, particularly with the lucrative prize money that is on offer for them. It's, you know, it's a long trip out, but if they did do that, I would have thought that, you know, it could be quite appealing to some contingents.
Sort of a last chapter of the spring parlay. You know, hopefully in the future quarantine will become less of an issue, but the Singapore Gold Cup was wedged in a few weeks ago as well. I wonder whether, you know, in an ideal world where we would go and where we would see the Golden 60s running Cox Plates and so on in a universe far, far away when everything worked out well. But, you know, there was a time when the mummifiers of this world went to Singapore. I wonder whether there should be some collaboration between Singapore, Hong Kong and Australia to reignite the idea of some sort of a circuit at this time of year involving a bonus between the three and a...
Yeah.
Something
I agree.
That
I mean, they did have one some time ago, didn't they? And I can't remember how it was, many years ago. It didn't really work, but, gee, I mean, you look at, you know, like I think it could start in Dubai, and I think it might have started in Dubai, and they had a certain, you know, if you want a certain amount in the series, wherever it may be. But there'd have to be some probably give and take from each jurisdiction in terms of programming, and obviously with time-honored races around the globe, it's not easy to do that. So there's a lot of work that involves, but you can't help but feel that, you know, there should be almost some sort of majors, you know, 2,000-meter, four majors around the world, and, you know, if you win a couple of them, you get a bonus or something like that, just to encourage, I think, that fluency between all the different jurisdictions. It would be fantastic, I think, for the sport as a whole.
Even regional, like if there was a Southeast Asian racing authority where these sort of things were mapped out and so on. And I think if those who want to do it get their way and push back the Spring Carnival, and that seems to be a lot of momentum to do that through those in charge at Race of Victoria and so on at the moment, then this would probably assist in what we're talking about as well. If some of the major races in the spring were pushed back a bit and then landed close to the doorstep of some of these races sort of seamlessly without horses being in a holding pattern, then maybe that there's something like this would be an extension of a pushback of the Spring Carnival.
Yeah, it could well be. I mean, you know, they've obviously looked into it years ago, and there's probably smarter minds than you and I that have looked at it and the possibility of it, but you need sort of collaboration, don't you? And I suppose it's a possibility. It'd be great. Like I said, I think for the sport as a whole, it would be fantastic if we... I mean, not only for the horses as well, you know, some sort of jockey series that continued through that over the course of the year. You know, you might start in Dubai, then go to England or France or both, and then, you know, Japan at some point, and then on to Hong Kong, and then Australia, and then Hong Kong at the end of the year, I think. It'd be great. It'd be fantastic.
And a journo series where a group of middle-aged journos get to go from hotspot to hotspot, sitting in the front end of the plane and sort of being part of this whole thing. You know, I think we've got to think this through, Hutchie.
I think, and I reckon at the top of the list for RSN anyway, Matty Stewart might be somewhere down at the top of maybe one and two.
Yeah, that's if I'm creating the list. Yeah, absolutely. Good on you, mate. Thanks for the tips tonight. We'll back him with our usual level of extreme confidence.
All right, good on you, Matty.
Thanks, Hutchie.